Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One thing that was fun, regardless of outcome, was watching the Astro games on television. And our next guest had a chance to provide the play-by-play on the games this weekend as Todd Kallas continues to come back from testing positive for COVID-19. Kevin Eschenfelder, normally the studio host, this weekend pushed into play-by-play duties, did a phenomenal job on the broadcast, and he joins us right now. Esh, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Things have changed a little bit since I went to bed last night, though. I get up and look at the internet this morning, and you find the story on the Marlins, and kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen from here on out.
Yeah, you brought that up. We'll get to Verlander here in a second, but as long as you brought that up, look, you know, this is what people had been fearing to a large degree. What could bring down the season? It's this that could potentially bring down the season. I would imagine there's been a lot of chatter just among your inner circle this morning, the broadcast group and players and things like that. What's been your reaction and the reaction of people you've had a chance to talk to already this morning about what's going on with the Marlins?
Well, you know, as far as what's happening with the Marlins, I mean, you just knew, Sean, it's going to happen. I mean, people are going to test positive. We've already seen it, and now we're seeing it with one group. But overall, I'm amazed at how careful, I know from our group at AT&T Sportsnet, how careful we have been with everything. But it just goes to show you that almost no matter how careful you are, this is going to happen. And I guess now it's how you deal with it. And time's going to tell us that, you know, as to how they're going to deal with it. Are the Yankees and Phillies going to cancel their game tonight? I mean, you know, it's a lot of different moving parts right now, and it's such uncharted territory. So, you know, that's basically where it stands right now. Is that nobody really knows. And
yeah.
I know they've already canceled the Marlins game, right?
Yeah. Marlins and Orioles canceled for tonight.
Yep.
Kevin, that's what, you know, and you in being with the team and being around the team a whole lot, obviously, is I'm watching Greinke and McCullers pitch on Saturday and Sunday. You know, McCullers obviously got it all together, but he didn't quite have, you know, his normal fastball. Greinke didn't have his fastball at all. And with pitchers who are so much creatures of routine and habit and having a ritual on game day, do you think we can attribute part of it to just that maybe a lot of the pitchers are just simply going to look a little out of sorts early on until they figure out just all this chaotic schedule?
Yeah, I think so. And I do think that no matter what you say, because I'm telling you, Lance McCullers in Kansas City the other day, what was it, Monday? That he looked maybe as good as I've ever seen Lance McCullers look. And you can take the 2017 postseason and put that into that statement as well. I mean, he was just flat filthy. And then Greinke, you know, I don't think that the schedule actually worked out good for him. You know, he had to kind of jump around a little bit as far as his throwing days. And you're right. It's not like, you know, they go, well, just here's the baseball, go do your thing. They do have that routine, and Greinke fought through it. I think Lance did the same thing. Lance was not nearly as sharp when he threw on Saturday, but he was obviously able to fight through it and, you know, get his feet underneath him. And then kind of right the ship, and you know he looked good after that. But getting through that first inning, got a double play ball in the first inning when he had the bases loaded, and I do think that has a lot to do with it. As guys just start to get acclimated to what's going to happen. The good thing about having veteran staff is the fact that I think they're going to be able to do that. I also think the fact that there's not fans there may help some of these younger players too, as far as settling down some of these young arms. not have the pressure. The pressure's there playing in the big leagues, no doubt, and trying to keep a job and trying to stay there. But at the same time, you don't have 40,000 fans, you know, bearing down on you, especially if you're on the road.
Kevin Eschenfelder joining us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so Esch, the Verlander injury gets reported by Chandler Rome after the game, reports he's out for the season. JV and Dusty Baker both say, we're going to reevaluate this in a couple weeks. And Chandler Rome reports, again, out for the season. So we'll see what this is, what the severity of it is. I guess my question for you is that Verlander's going to be out for at least a little while. If it's 2 weeks, and that means he's got to ramp back up again, and hell, by then half the season is over, where does this put the most pressure on the Astros, either in that pitching staff, on the roster, or maybe in the front office? Where do you think the biggest pressure point is now to adapt and react off of this Verlander news?
You have to look at the starting rotation. And now what do you do? Do you move a guy that was a long reliever, a Cy Snead type or whatever? You know, I haven't seen exactly. I don't know. I'm sure they know what they're going to do, but haven't seen what they're going to do. But do you move a guy that's already at out of a bullpen that's already thought of as being a little bit thin or at least inexperienced and make that even thinner and less experienced into your starting rotation, or do you try to find an arm that we don't even know about just yet? Somebody that's out there that may be available. That's the question. So it does fall. I think it's going to fall on the front office right now as to what decisions they're going to make as far as who's going to step into that role.
You know, Cristian Javier made his debut and he was impressive. And I know that some people had tossed his name out as a guy that might be able to work his way into the starting rotation this year. Hadn't been talked about a whole lot outside of Houston. How viable is it that he could become a full-time starter?
That's the question, Seth. It's not like you just go out and, you know, you have a 12-pitch inning and now all of a sudden you're ready to go throw six. You got to have that guy, you know, stretched out, like you said. And Seifert is the only guy that really – I think he threw three innings, I think, in Kansas City. So he's the only guy that has any semblance, I think, of right now of being stretched out. It's just not that easy to say, okay, go give me five innings and we'll patch it together from there on out for a guy that, you know, hadn't thrown multiple innings in months.
Yeah. Kevin Eschenfelder joining us on the program. All right, Esch, so how weird was it doing the broadcast in a stadium? Were there no fans, and can you hear the ambient crowd noise that the broadcast has going on there?
No, I cannot. I can't hear the – I have my headsets on, and it's not coming through my ears. It's kind of coming through my headset. But it's very strange, and I'll tell you why. It's not that it's just quiet. It is that you don't realize how the crowd reminds you of the gravity of the moment. I'm talking about, like, you know – there's runners at second and third, and it's a 3-2 pitch. The guy swings and misses, and it's like, okay, who's next? You don't have the huge crowd. And another thing too, and this is something, you know, you're so doing this job. I mean, it's something, you know, you don't want to make mistakes, and you know, you always do, but you don't want to make mistakes. And then you're thinking, okay, wait, we're in the ninth inning and there are two outs, and you're double checking. Okay, it's not the eighth, it's not the ninth, because there's not that, and that's the ball game. You're just making sure that that's the ball game, because it's kind of hard to really, it's hard to explain, because there's no buildup. There's no, okay, and the crowd's on its feet. The Mariners down to their final strike. It's none of that. And it's like tomorrow.
When Bregman's up there at the end and you just, you got to wonder, all right, would the roar of the crowd, would everybody standing on their feet, would that adrenaline surge make the difference? Is it, like, how much of that is, how much of the home field advantage actually is that, like, in those specific moments? And that's exactly when it's most lacking. And it doesn't feel, Kevin, like, I thought you guys did a good job with it. Like, when you're just listening to the ambient noise, like, between pitches or between innings, that sounds like you're at a ball game, you know, and the cameras are down on the field. It's just those very few punctuated moments where there's no way you can replace the excitement of the crowd.
Yeah, and then that's when you have to remind yourself that, okay, this is a huge moment. I mean, you know, it's a huge moment, and you can feel the tension. I can feel the tension in the game, doing the game, because I just know how important each one of these are when you only have 60 games, particularly when you're playing quite honestly, a Seattle Mariners team that you want to. This is, I mean, this is kind of team that you make hay against. So you know, not one that you want to drop or split a, you know, split a series or lose a series to. And yeah, you kind of have to generate your own emotion in that regard, because you certainly don't have the crowd to lift you up as a broadcaster as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, Kevin. Like tonight, I said this to Seth earlier. I'm like, man, when the Astros are down 2-1 in the fourth inning of Verlander's start on Friday, you really do kind of start to feel the 60-game season effect. Like, man, if there's starts you need to win, it's Verlander against the damn Mariners. You can't be throwing these away like 162-game season. To that point, the game tonight, you know, it important on many levels. Obviously, Josh James now gets bumped up in his degree of importance to this team with JV out. But also, man, you don't want to get off to a 2-2 start after a home series against the Mariners, heading out, or not heading out, but welcoming the Dodgers to the stadium tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, the Dodgers, and then you got to go out to Oakland, and Anaheim and Oakland, and it's so yeah, long road trip coming up after that. Absolutely, want to take 3 out of 4 here. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they had won 15 straight games over the Mariners, and what 20 of the last 21. So you can't complain too much about what they've done against Seattle. But yeah, you would have loved to have had that one yesterday. Obviously, got away from them in the eighth inning. But yeah, there's I think I actually even said that on the air yesterday, was that that feeling on Friday night in the fourth inning, you know, you're down 2-1, and it's like, oh, let's go, boys. It's time to, it's time to get the bats going.
Right.
And they did.
Yeah. No, they absolutely did. Before we let you go, your general thoughts on the wherewithal of this team to handle whatever the scenario is with Verlander, whether it's a temporary thing, although there's really no such thing in a 60-game season of temporary, but if it's the worst-case scenario, the wherewithal of this team, both from a mental standpoint as well as just purely a roster construct standpoint, to handle the loss of maybe the, other than Gerrit Cole, the best pitcher in the American League?
Well, from a roster construct, I mean, when you look at this offense, the offense is still elite. You can do whatever you want with the stars. The starting rotation, and obviously, are they better without Justin Verlander? Absolutely, of course not. But, you take your chances with the guys that are left. I think the Astros roster is pretty much set in a good way, to fill those holes. Going to be very difficult, that's for sure. And it's and like you said, if it's two weeks, that means you don't pitch 2 weeks, and it takes you 2 weeks to get ready. I mean, that's, you're right, it's a long time. So I'm just hoping for the best on Justin Verlander to be back as soon as possible. I tell you what, if anybody can work their way back into making that a shorter time, it'd be Justin Verlander.
Yeah, expanded playoffs, just be there for October, JV. That's what we need.
There you go.
Yep,
there
yep.
You go.
Kevin Eschenfelder, he will be on the call tonight. 6:10 start, I think, right, Kev?
You got it. Four games, four different times. Four different starts.
Yeah, you get that Outlook calendar working, man. You got to make sure you got those reminders. You got the right start time for each of these games. So 6:10 tonight, AT&T Sportsnet. Kevin Eschenfelder on the call with Jeff Blum and Julie Morales. Kev, really appreciate the time, man. Keep up the great work. We'll do it again soon.
All right, Shawnee. Good to see you, man.
All right, you too. Thanks. Kevin Eschenfelder joining us on the program. Good stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.